Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 134 for the 4th of June, 2011. I am Dave McVan. I'm doing this completely off the cuff because my show notes have turned off. I'm Dave McVan. I'm joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I'm fantastic, man. How you doing?
Oh, I was really good up until we just started, and then all the bugs started to happen right when we started the show.
Hooray!
Yay! Bugs! We love bugs. All right. What is this? This is Geek Actually. This is the all new Geek Actually. Actually, this is actually. How many times can I say actually in one sentence?
Just shut up.
This is where we took our old tech show and we took our after show. We smushed the two together and we ended up with this show, and this show still defies.
And what kind of a mess is it?
Oh, it kind of still defies description at this point, so we're still working on it. I know that we finally got listed on Stitcher for Geek Actually, so if you are a Stitcher user, we're going to put the Stitcher ad at the beginning of this show at some point. Yeah. I didn't even actually apply for it. They just put us on there. Finally, they just said, yeah, you're on there, whatever. So Geek Actually is now on Stitcher Radio. I haven't actually gone to test that out for myself yet, though, so I will have to go have a look. But I went and saw it on the account. Before we do anything today,
anything
else, we do have a guest in our studio who is going who's going to squeeze in here just between us really quickly, and he's going to talk kind of across both mics. This is Nicholas the Little Geek McVeigh, and we need to start the show with a great big thank you. And we're going to say thank you in no particular order to Katrina Smith, Daniel Deutsch, Celia Neen, Cam Neen, George Levick, Josh Philpott, Celine Roberts, Miran Lee, Sarah Kalpokas, James Coates, Cheryl Bowen, Peter Young, David Murray, Jordan Keith, and Michelle Sefcik for donating and getting Nicholas his iPad 2 for his birthday. This episode of Geek Actually is dedicated to all of you guys. Thank you very, very much. He's been playing with it since he got it, and he's very, very happy. So he just wanted to come up and say a big thank you.
Thank you, everybody, and, for my iPad.
And we were playing three-player Uno across our three iPads last night, so it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I said to Nicholas yesterday, here are some words I will never hear again. Dad, can I use your iPad? All right, now, get away from me, kid. You bother me. All right, so thank you, Nicholas. We'll talk to you later on. All right, so thank you to those people who did donate. That was very, very kind of you, and it all went to plan, and we got it. Now, let's get on with the show. Josh, as always, the links on this show, as always, the links on this show and all of our show notes come to us courtesy of David Murray, a.k.a. Delta Knight, who is usually our moderator in the chat room, but today he seems to be MIA. So we'll find out what happened to him. But he sends us all these wonderful links. There's a couple things we've had to add here because there's a couple bits of news that he didn't cover, so I put them in. And also, we got about three links from Clara Tungle this week.
We did?
Yeah, so I've just inserted it. Because Clara Tungle sends us email but never writes in his emails. He just sends links. So I've just incorporated them straight into the show. So as we come across them, I'll say this is courtesy of Clara Tungle. And, but first of all, we have to talk about impending robot apocalypse news. As always, because this one Delta sent through, and this one actually kind of scared me, Josh. Not because it's a horrible robot, you know, skinning people or anything like that, but this is a little bit more fundamental. According to Gizmodo, robots will now someday dispense our medicines, basically putting the pharmacists out of a job. So what's actually happened is these dispensing machines, you put in your order, they mix all of the medicines for you, they bottle it, they label it, and they put it out for you. Now, apparently, the part that scares me is that it says that one in 400,000 is a mistake. Now, that's actually kind of, I mean, okay, it doesn't sound like a lot, but one in 400,000 isn't really that much. Not when you're talking about life-saving
medicines. But I want to counterpoint with that with how many people screw up as humans.
Well, there is that, yes. Yeah, okay. We do have to deal with that as well. And they do say that at this point in time, they're not dealing with things like chemotherapy medications or anything like that. But in the future, they're hoping that these machines will be able to dispense drips, chemotherapy, and all of those other types of medicines. It's kind of creepy that we're putting this kind of stuff into the hands of our robots. I've been watching a lot of The Onion this week, which will be evidenced by the fact that we have an Onion story coming up. And The Onion, for those who don't know, is a make-believe news service where they just make shit up. And they have one which is a really funny one, which you can find on YouTube, which is all about how have we given too much power to our robot overlords? And it's really funny because they're sitting there going, no, I think that, you know, we use robots for a plan. And you know, our president, Lord Cybertron, or whatever his name is, it goes on and on. And it gets more and more extreme as it goes on. You know, the curfew for all meatbags at 10 p.m., I don't think was too extreme. So, yeah, no, the Onion is cool. Now, what are we seeing in the chat room here? Somebody's saying... Think his back is still screwed. Oh, Delta. Yeah, that's right. Delta hurt his back. That's right. Look, I'm going to put up something on the screen here really quickly. Delta sent this through weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and we kept saying, we're going to put it on the show, and I kept forgetting, and I really feel bad that I kept forgetting, but Delta actually did his first piece of geek art.
Oh.
And he was very proud of it, and so he sent a picture to me, and so this is Delta's geek art. This hangs on his wall. And I thought this was actually kind of cool. And for the audio listeners, it's basically a grouping of motherboards that have all been pieced together into a wall hanging.
That's very cute.
That's very cute. And they're all multicolored and so forth. So I just thought, there you go, Delta. I put up your piece of art. And you can finally check that out. And I would be proud to have that on my wall. I don't think my wife would let me, though.
Nope.
So I think that's what it really comes down to. Yeah. Okay. The big news of the week. And we're going to go into this in much more detail next week, because next week the announcement actually happens. But on June 6th, which is Monday, Tuesday our time, Apple is having the WWDC keynote.
Yeah.
Now, what usually happens on one of these keynotes is that we know nothing and we speculate for days and days and days about what's going to be announced. And then they come out and they announce it and we're all bitterly disappointed. Usually that's kind of how it works, right?
That's pretty much how it works.
This week, and also it should also be noted that the WWDC keynote in particular, this is when they always announce the next iPhone, and they have done for years.
Yeah.
This year, they're not announcing an iPhone. Now, well, we don't know, because there could be a one more thing and they could slip out like a 4S or something like that, you know, which is like what we're speculating is that this year they're going to put out a 4 that has a dual core processor, basically, and it'll just be a speed increase like the 3GS, right? That's what we think is going to happen. It may not happen at WWDC. The speculation on the iPhone 5 is probably not to the end of the year at this point. Now, Apple did something completely unprecedented this year, which is they put out a press release.
Get out.
Which they've never
done. That's such a lie. They didn't put out a press release.
They've never done this before.
Someone leaked it, and they just don't want to say
well,
anything.
I actually happen to have the press release right here.
No way.
And it actually says...
not from Apple.
It says, WWDC keynote rounding up the rumors. Oh, sorry, that's not the press release. That's the rounding up the rumors part. We're going to come back to that in a second. They didn't give a lot of detail away. So this is straight from Apple.com. But what they did, and I'm going to tell you why I think they did this. I have a suspicion on this. Okay, Cupertino, California, May 31st, 2011. Apple CEO Steve Jobs and a team of Apple executives will kick off the company's annual Worldwide Developers Conference. So, Steve Jobs is coming on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something they never announce in advance. You never know if he's going to walk out or not. So they've already given the cat out of the bag, so to speak. It says, on Monday, 6th of June, 10 a.m., the keynote Apple will unveil. Are you ready? They just lay it out. They say, Apple will unveil.
No, you know what this is? This is the lie to circumvent us from the truth. We're going to look at this, and then they're going to bring out everything different.
All right, you keep that in mind, because I've got another idea for this. It says, they will unveil its next-generation software, Lion, the eighth major release of Mac OS X, iOS 5, the next version of Apple's advanced mobile operating system, which powers the iPad, iPhone, I'm just reading, that's what it says here, and iPod Touch, and iCloud.
Okay, cool. So at least we know iCloud.
It says Apple's upcoming cloud service offering. Now, this week, the iCloud domain also went live, so we know that this is a definite thing now. Yeah. It is definitely called iCloud. So the questions are, what is iCloud? Right? And it actually goes on, it says it's like an ad for a WWDC. They tell you what's going on. But that's what is being announced at the keynote.
Yeah.
So we knew about Lion, because Lion's coming out in September, I think it is, or October. So we knew that they have to announce Lion.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see the stuff that they're going to throw into Lion.
Yeah.
We knew that iOS 5 was not far off. So, okay, so iOS 5. I actually thought they would have saved iOS 5 for the iPhone 5, but I thought we'd just keep getting incrementals until iPhone 5. But...
Well, maybe they're planning to test it, get it ready, get it organized so that when iPhone 5 comes out, iPhone 3's become useless.
There you go. Okay. So then that leaves iCloud. Now, we know for a fact that, was it a year and a half ago, they bought Lala, which was a music service, which allowed for streaming music off the internet.
Yes, I remember.
They bought Lala, and everybody was thinking, oh, this is going to be incorporated on iTunes, and then they killed it. They literally just liquidated it.
Yep.
And so then the speculation started to run rampant. Why did they buy Lala? What are they going to do with Lala? Et cetera, et cetera. Now, the rumor mill has started into high gear about what iCloud is going to be.
Isn't that awesome? Apple actually comes out and tells everybody what they're doing, and everybody goes into overdrive.
Everybody goes into overdrive on this. Basically, what they're saying, and what a lot of people are saying, so this is pretty confirmed, okay, is that it is a music streaming service like the Amazon and Google Locker services.
Yeah.
But the big difference between the Amazon Google Locker services and iCloud is that iTunes actually went to all of the major record labels and set up deals, whereas Amazon and Google didn't. This leads to a lot of the rumors, basically saying this is going to be a Lala-like service. Now, what Lala did, which is different from all these other cloud services and was quite genius, was it would scan your music library, and if you already have, if you, instead of uploading all of your music into the cloud, which takes weeks, mind you, it would look through your library and say, if it had the tracks that you had, it just gave you access to the ones that were already online. This often led to you getting better quality copies of the ones that you might have, because they're all standard bit rates. So the fact that they got all of the major record labels on board, Universal just signed.
That was the big one.
This was the big key. Universal just signed, which means all the record labels are on board for iCloud, and they're saying that this could be the service. This could be the it'll scan your iTunes library, take what it doesn't have onto your locker, basically, and if it does have your tracks, give you access to the ones that are already there. Now, a lot of people started saying, will it only be music sold at iTunes, or will you be allowed to put up anything? What happens to people who have downloaded lots of stuff from Napster in the past and stuff like that?
What about songs like mixtapes and stuff like that?
Mixtapes, et cetera, et cetera. So this all starts, you start to go, well, what's going on? One analyst came out, and this is the one that I found absolutely fascinating, who said his belief is, and the inside knowledge that he has, is that it doesn't matter what the source of the track is. So even if it was a pirate copy from Napster, if it records that you have it, it will give you access to the one on board, often leading to you getting a better quality one than the one that you might have already had.
Yeah.
People are saying, why would they do that? Well, there's a very simple logical explanation to that. It's a paid-for service.
Right.
So you're going to pay for iCloud. The record companies get a cut of this. Mm-hmm. So basically what's happening is all that music that you stole in the past, they're finally getting paid for.
No, look, I totally agree, man. But my problem still in a system like this is two things. Number one, I'm on Vodafone 3G. And, you know, whether or not that's a problem for some people or not, my connection isn't
that
great.
This is not, for Australians, this is not a 3G thing. But if you're on Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So what?
You've got several computers in the house. You've got all your music on one computer. You've got a problem. If you can basically tap into any computer. Now, here's the real kicker. I was talking to Katie this morning. iiNet, who I'm with as a service provider, has free internet, has free iTunes.
Yeah.
So anything I download from iTunes, music or movies, doesn't count towards my cap, right?
Nice.
Now, if this
service... Do you reckon they'll change that?
Well, I think they might, but if they don't, if they basically say, no, we're going to support iCloud as well, that means we have free streaming on any computer in the house that doesn't even affect the cap. That is awesome. Now, here's the next part. There is also talk that they have been in negotiation. Nobody can confirm this yet, but there's been people in negotiation from Apple saying movies and TV might also be streamed.
Okay, if that happens, I'm in.
I'm in. And now here's the best part. How much does it all cost? Rumor has it, the speculation at this point, $25 a year.
Fuck off. Fuck off. No way, man. No way. That's
now,
not true.
That
$25 a month, I'd believe.
Now, that brought up the next notion, which is, come on, $25 a year. How does anybody make any money? And I was actually pondering this for quite some time. But I got the ZDNet newsletter this morning. So this is actually is not in the show notes yet, Josh.
Yeah.
This literally came through this morning. And I started to read this. And I went, you know, that actually makes a whole lot of sense. So I'm just going to bring up this article from ZDNet.
Yeah.
They went, Apple iCloud, nice incremental revenue boost, but halo effect is more notable.
Hmm.
And when you actually go and read the article, I will put this link into the show notes. It's just not in the show notes now. They actually go through and they do a little bit of preliminary calculation.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, so, you know, you take $25 a year for iCloud.
Right.
And you split that up and you say that 58% goes to the label.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, I've lost my place. 58% goes to the publishers. 12% goes to 58% goes to the labels and 30% goes to Apple.
Right.
Okay? That means that Apple's going to get $7.50 off of each subscription.
Right.
Okay? Now, you take into account the projections, okay? And they say they are going to sell, the projection at the moment is 184 million iPhones in this calendar year. Okay? Now, they say, at a rough guess, take half of those and say they subscribe for the iCloud service. So with half of those subscribing to the iCloud service, you're going to end up with $690 million in revenue from just the iPhone sales, right? Then you take into account iPad sales. They're expecting a $75 million push on iPad sales. Take into account only half of those people actually subscribe to the iCloud service, and you're going to make $281 million from the iPad subscribers. Take into account iPods. Now, they have a much lower number because not all iPods have internet connection. But they say, let's assume that one-third of those iPod sales are iPod Touch people, and you end up with $200 million in revenue for the year. So basically what they're saying is in 1 year, this little iCloud service could make Apple $1.2 billion.
Yep, no, that's fine. But my problem is that...
And the labels make a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, labels make a whole lot more than that. But again, if you look at that and tell and say you can charge $25 a year or $50 a year or $25 a month, man, companies are greedy as hell. You cannot...
You know what, though? I have this funny feeling. It's a funny feeling in the bottom of my gut.
Yeah,
that says that Apple would do something like this at the moment because they want to shut down Amazon Locker and Google Locker is what
and
they want.
And also, the other thing that they want is they want to control everything.
Yeah, that's right. And now let's put this in perspective.
Can we just quickly side note for 1 minute and just ask a question?
Sure.
When Microsoft started even momentarily becoming powerful, right? The world went mental. The world turned around and started suing, requiring them to pay a certain amount of money. When the fuck are we going to do this to Apple?
Do you know why we can't do this to Apple? This is a really simple logistical legal reason why we can't do this to Apple, which is there is competition. The reason why everybody jumped on Microsoft was because they were done for monopolistic or antitrust, right? Mm. Apple has actually not a monopoly because they can at any time say, you don't want to use us, go buy from Amazon's music store, go buy from, and this is not in Australia, of course, because in Australia we're kind of locked out.
Yes, but, yes. But at what stage during this situation when you start closing down things like Google, Google
but
Locker
no,
or
they,
Amazon
they won't
Locker.
Actually close it down. What they're going to do is, yeah, and that's right.
No, but this is
that's
what
right.
will happen. No one will go out, to it, and they'll wipe them out, and then they become a monopoly.
I don't think they can wipe out Amazon, though. That's the trick. I think Amazon is too big. Google's music service, I think, may die before it has a chance to start. But
you'd be surprised, though, man, because no one's going to be able to use the Apple service on an Android phone, and we already know Android owns 50% of the market.
True. Northy has actually put a point up in our chat room. By the way, we do go out live every Saturday, 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, if you want to join our chat room. Northy says it's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
They will do whatever makes the most money. The cheaper they make it, the more people who will sign up. More expensive means less people. And he's absolutely right. It's a supply and demand issue.
Yes.
If you make it expensive, you get less people, but you make money. If you make it cheap, you don't make as much money up front, but you make so much more money in the long run because you get so many more people involved.
Exactly. And look, honestly, man, slippery slope is my problem with this. I actually really find this a scary notion. Like, I mean, yes, it's cool that we can access all these things, but then content starts being controlled.
Yeah, and Callison has also raised a really good point. He says Apple is still only like 5% of the market. That's why. Microsoft didn't start getting all the lawsuits shoved at them.
When we're talking computers, I include smartphones. I include iPads. Because you can say whatever you want. If I flash the BIOS...
As a consumer electronics company.
Hey, if I flash the BIOS on that thing, I can run it like an actual computer.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the thing. It is a computer.
Well, the processor, all the guts of the iPhone are as powerful as any netbook sitting around. So.
Exactly. And this is my problem. It's like, when do we actually start realistically looking at the sales on this stuff? It's like, realistically, these things are...
All right, I got to say, I'm actually really excited about iCloud.
I'm not.
I think iCloud's really interesting. And I'm hoping that the other pipe dream we will get as well, which was when they first started tinkering around with this whole mobile me thing, and they started to, there was rumors kicking around saying that things like email and calendar syncing and stuff like that would become free.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really interesting if they incorporated all into iCloud, $125 a year fee, and you get all of that.
Yeah.
I think I would be there in a heartbeat. Yeah. No doubt. So, look, we will watch the keynote with great interest, and we will report back next week as to what actually happened.
Absolutely.
This is just all speculation and rumor at the moment. Now, what I was going to say, though, about why I think they put out the press statement.
Yeah.
My belief is this, because this week, you remember how last week we talked about the fact that Samsung was ordered to show all of their upcoming product to Apple, yeah. Right? This week, Samsung turned around and said, well, we want to see the iPhone 5, the iPad 3, and the iPhone 4S, which Apple probably replied with, they don't exist. And there's a lot of belief kicking around right now that this press statement was basically to Samsung saying, we're not releasing a device.
Mm.
So I think that's why I think it was almost like a cutoff to Samsung saying, see, there's no device here.
Mm.
So, and I think that's why they did it. I don't think it was anything to do with the fact that I think they're still like their secrecy and stuff. But I think this little gnat of Samsung nipping at their heels is pissing. It's becoming a pissing contest.
Yeah, it really is
becoming a pissing contest with them at the moment. So anyway, we'll find out more about Apple next week. And we will find out if there is actually going to be a 4S, which we kind of suspect is going to be the one more thing. But
yeah, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, if it does.
Well, it's not something I'm going to buy. I'm going to wait for the
exactly, but so. I think, look, if Apple is the giant money-hungry company we know they are, I think they can feel it at the moment. It's like a 4S and everybody kind of has the same reaction. They're like, cool.
Do you know what is actually much more interesting than the 4S is there is rumors kicking around at the moment that they're going to release a budget phone. They're going to release like a 3GS with its guts upgraded and basically put it out on the market for like $99.
Mm.
Now, iCloud makes a whole lot more sense.
Wow.
If they release a budget.
Insanely true.
So I think iCloud's going to pick up a whole bunch of millions if they do that. So anyway, we'll keep up with that. Now, I know everybody wants an iPad 2. It seems to be the big thing at the moment. Everybody wants one, but I think this might be going just a little too far. Clara Tungle sent this one through. And this one is actually a tragedy. So we're not making light of this, but a young boy in China wanted an iPad 2. 17 years old, Chinese boy wanted an iPad 2 so bad he sold his kidney for the money to be able to buy his iPad 2. Apparently, he was paid $3,400 for his kidney, which is obviously a lot more than the iPad 2 is worth. So he's got a little bit of savings. But his parents were horrified to find out that the hospital that he was actually doing this in reportedly doesn't have proper support facilities for this. He's actually not in good condition at the moment because he's had his kidney ripped out of him and they don't know how to look after him. And his health is reportedly deteriorating. So, guys, the iPad 2 isn't worth it.
I'm sorry, but yeah, I'd like to put that out to everybody. And also, I would like to say, if you want an iPad 2, go online or something. Stop walking into stores and yelling at people about the fact that they aren't available. We don't care. I'm sorry. I'm just putting that out there for people. We don't care you can't get an iPad. And we're not angry because there's nothing we can do about it.
It's Apple. It's not the retailers, guys. Leave the retailers alone.
Anyway, that's my message for the
cool. Clara Tungle also sent this one through, which we just have to share. I've got a little bit of video on this one, so we'll play this video in the background. There's no talking. It's just the sound of the machine itself. So we're going to play this here. This is the Martin Jetpack. Now, for those who have always wanted to have personal jetpacks, this one was test flown the other day. It actually, their belief is that they're trying to get it up to 5,000 feet.
Wow.
So we're talking about a serious piece of aircraft here. This is it flying here. This is its takeoff. Now, they also obviously haven't perfected landing yet because they have to use a parachute to bring it back down.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the jetpack taking off, which is a big, bulky excuse for a machine. But look at that. And before you ask, it's actually a mannequin. They didn't put a real person in it yet. So it's remote controlled at this
point. Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. So there it goes. Look how high this mother goes. For those who are listening to audio, the link for this video is in the show notes.
I don't know how much gas it chews, or batteries, or whatever.
I don't know. It sounds electric.
Yeah.
When we say jetpack, I think we're using the term loosely. So it says test dummy, not an actual person in the video. It says that... where are we? Let's have a look at this. So enter Martin Aircraft, the developer of a quote-unquote jetpack, which actually functions with ducted fans, not jets.
Oh, wow.
It's been reporting since 2008. It's been working on this. There goes the parachute. And down it comes. Now, according to them, they say jetpacks have no passive ways of generating lifts, so if you run into a mechanical issue, you're pretty well screwed. Martin Aircraft is well aware of this potentially fatal shortcoming, so they've installed a ballistic parachute system designed to get you to a safe landing, no matter what happens. It says a ballistic parachute is just like a normal parachute, except that it uses a small explosive charge to deploy the parachute.
Just in case.
Anyway, so there you go. There's our jetpack dreams. Wow. And hopefully we'll be able to get that nice and soon, so we can go flying 5,000 feet up into the air, which would be kind of fun. No! I'm not interested in being dragged 5,000 feet up into the air.
I have no interest in being dragged
5,000. I don't like standing on the edge of cliffs. Why would I want to hang on the back of this thing?
You know? I think this thing sounds amazing, and I'm totally in.
Dead or Alive. The game Dead or Alive Dimensions.
Yes.
Is in a little bit of trouble. Now, I don't know if you've played this yet or not. Is it a DS game or a 3DS?
I'm not sure. I haven't played this one.
Nintendo 3DS handheld game, Dead or Alive Dimensions, basically came out, this week?
Yeah.
Last week, something like that. It's got rated a PG rating in Australia.
Oh, good lord.
But, apparently, in several Nordic countries, it's been banned, and they're now declaring it as child pornography. And they're saying this game should be ashamed of itself, and they're taking off the shelves.
So where's the child pornography?
Well, apparently the girls in it are actually depicted as being 17 years old, and there are actually points in it where the camera swings up under their dresses and shows their panties and stuff.
Have you ever played
Dead? I've never played it, but...
Oh, okay.
But I'm just reporting the news. I didn't realize they were
17.
Yeah, and, no, and it actually says the reason
technically
why...
Technically, that's not underage here.
That's true. Maybe that's why I got a PG here.
Yeah.
It says here, three of the game's characters, Ayan, Kuroki, and Kasumi, are described in the game as being under 18 years of age. In-game photography mode, which allows players to look up characters' dresses in certain posers, has been considered by some as potential child pornography, as laws prohibit sexualized depictions of children, even in cartoons.
Yeah.
In Australia, now how does that happen? In Australia, a Sydney man was convicted in 2008 of possessing child pornography over cartoons showing characters from The Simpsons engaged in sexual acts. All right, so there is precedent for it. I've seen video of the Dead or Alive games, and, you know, I think they're funny, and, you know, they invented all that jiggle technology for the boobs and all that sort of stuff. And
it was hilarious.
I look at that and go, really, guys, is this what you're going to worry about?
You know? It's just, you wonder what else they have to do with their life. There has to be something else that they could be doing with their life, which is more productive than yelling about stuff like this. But again, that's just me, and, you know, I don't know.
Zenfu in our chat room says that jetpack was a bit quieter than the Bell rocket pack. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
And Bianca Donk says she's still waiting for her lightsaber.
We're getting there, dude. Okay, technology's coming. We just gotta... Just...
All right, one step closer to our paperless society. Ricoh has a new invention, which I think is kind of cool.
Man, we're really going all out on that stuff, aren't we?
Absolutely. This is the Ricoh invention here on screen. For our audio listeners, you can actually have a look at it in the show notes. It basically looks like a tablet with a stylus. And the idea is they're basically declaring that the paper letter is dead, the fax is obsolete. And they're saying that with this particular device, it's called the eQuill. It uses the same guts as a Kindle mostly. The screen is much faster, so flipping through pages of dull text so you can get to the important stuff easier. But most importantly, you can write directly on the screen.
Okay, that is very cool.
With the pen. So things like PDF documents and stuff, you can actually fill out.
And even for deliveries and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes, absolutely. So it's in prototype form at the moment, but that is the future of paperless.
That is freaking sweet.
So good on you, Ricoh. Good on you.
Yeah,
I used to have
awesome.
A Ricoh camera years ago. I used to love my Ricoh camera. All right. So, in fact, I think my Ricoh camera is still behind us here somewhere. It doesn't work anymore, though. Mm. Okay. Microsoft unveiled a video this week of Windows 8.
Yes.
I've got a little bit of that video. Now, I've had to abridge it, and it's way too long, and we're not going to sit here all day long watching this video because it's way too long. Go to the site, check out the whole video. I'll give you a taste, though. Before we actually do this, just so our audio listeners know what we're actually looking at here and getting excited about, Microsoft Labs has decided to start releasing like a video blog. And what they're doing is they're just kind of showing you the stuff that they're coming up with. Windows 8 is not until next year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But They've decided to completely reinvent Windows, and to their credit, it's about time, right? And what they're going with is they're trying to integrate the touch Windows interface with a normal Windows interface, so it's all just one thing.
So
whether you have it on a tablet, or you have it on a PC, you have it on a phone, it makes no difference. It's all exactly the same thing.
Right.
And so they've gone with that whole panels look from the Windows Phone 7, which is actually a really interesting idea. And you can actually use it with mouse and keyboard, or you can just directly interact with it on the screen.
Which is awesome. And so smart.
So smart.
That's so out on them.
So have a look have a look at this little guy telling us a little bit about this.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jensen Harris, and I'm Director of Program Management.
You would think they could get their production values up a little bit.
This is the first video
in a series of videos we're posting
on our blog in the coming months that showcase cool stuff we've been working on for what we're codenaming Windows 8. We're here in our design room, which is one of the rooms where we have a lot of interesting discussions about the UI. If you look over here, you can see some of the stuff we have posted up on the wall. To inspire us, sometimes we put designs we're working on the wall. Now, we've been pretty quiet. There's a good reason for that. As you can imagine, the team has had many ideas. Many of them were good. Not all of them weren't. So we wanted to wait and really try to figure out what was going to make its way into the product. The first thing that you're going to see when you start a Windows 8 PC is the start screen. The start screen is this personal,
it's really smooth. It slides along really nicely.
Every app on your
It really is the interface that I've kind of been waiting for.
Let me drop his volume down a little bit.
I've been waiting for an interface like this for a while. I mean, it's still essentially my problem is that we're stuck in that kind of world that requires you to kind of buy things from a store. But if I know Microsoft at all, I imagine there'll be the ability, like Google style, to add things. It seems, you know how Windows has kind of become the middleman. I never thought I would actually hear those words.
No, I didn't think I'd ever see that day.
But it's kind of like you've got both sides of the card now. You've got one side where Google has kind of opened it up so much that it becomes a mess sometimes. You've just got this sea of like uncontrollable widgets all over your screen, whereas Microsoft seems to be kind of going, well, what works with Apple, what works with Google, and tries to make a middle thing. I can't actually even fathom that I'm about to say this.
Let's just talk about that for a second, because I really like that feature. So you've got your start screen, but you may have multiple programs running. Mm. All you do is literally drag in from the side of the screen, and you drag the open programs across the screen.
Exactly.
That is just awesome.
Dude, I want to see how this runs, and I want to see, like,
love that.
Yeah, and I want to see how well this works, because, I mean, we've got all this, but it's like, what sort of a computer do you have to have
okay,
to run
well,
this?
Apparently, what the most interesting part about all of this was in the written article that this comes from, it actually says it actually has fewer system resources than 7.
Oh, dude, that's fantastic. Look, I can't actually even begin to fathom this, but I am so excited about this.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I was really excited about Windows 7 when it came out. The other thing, we don't go all the way on this video because I've actually had to abridge it. I like this keyboard, though. Watch. So it's got a full-size keyboard like this on touch. Yeah. But for, like, tablets, it can actually break that keyboard up so it's on thumbs. So watch, he puts in thumb mode, and you've actually got two sides.
Oh, dude, that's so cool.
So I think that's really nice for a tablet.
Dude, that's so cool.
So there's some really good stuff in there. And further in the video, he actually does show you what it's like running legacy Windows programs.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is when you start a legacy Windows program, the start bar and everything comes back to the bottom.
Oh, dude, I wish you would show me.
So it all just loads up. It's actually, the video is about 4.5 minutes long.
Yeah,
it's a fairly long piece of video.
I'll have to grab it off you because I don't have internet at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So have a look at that and definitely watch that whole video through. And I'm going to actually bookmark that site and keep up to date with what their progress is on this stuff. Because very interesting. The one thing I did like was, if you watch that video very carefully, there's one point where he's standing there and he's got a whole wall of stuff behind him, all those stuff stuck to the wall. Mm. And off to one side is a whole bunch of stuff stuck to the wall, and that's all been blurred out.
Yeah.
And all I can think is, those are the screenshots from the Mac desktop, right?
Easy now, son.
All right. Anyway. Now it says, Callison says, though, if it comes with a Kinect enabled UI for PCs, that might be kind of cool. I would guarantee it'll have Kinect interface to it. Yes. No, I will guarantee that Microsoft will put Kinect in everything now.
That's actually a really interesting idea, though, wouldn't it? It would be.
Could you imagine, like, that interface with a Kinect system? Oh, I could do that.
Dude, I just want you to go one step further for a minute. Just imagine Windows 8 having that on tablets, getting home and having that on your screens, and having it all running via Kinect. That is my ideal household. This is the household I've been waiting for like 5 to 10 years. Like, just to be able to fully integrate that and to be able to flick things, because I know Windows is looking into that. They're already talked about it with the Windows Phone 7 and being able to do live games and stuff like that. The ability to just get home and just be like, I'm home, flick to speakers, and just that have everything cool. come out through my house. That's what I'm going
to
be building.
Well, and you could do it with this new tablet. It came up so late, I didn't get a chance to put it in the show. We might talk about it next week. Yeah. But there's a new prototype tablet coming out, and I can't even remember. Maybe the chat room can help me. Who is the company that is releasing the dockable tablet? It's a phone and tablet in one. So the tablet screen is actually just a screen, basically.
Yeah.
And your phone slides into the back of it.
Oh.
And so you get a full tablet, but when the phone rings, you just literally slide the phone out and use the phone.
Dude, come on, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
That is so cool.
I can't remember somebody saying the Atrix, maybe. It could be the Atrix. I'm not sure. I literally just heard about it last night and didn't have time to put it in. I was really tired last night, so I finished everything up and it's like, I'm done. We'll explain in film actually why we were so tired yesterday. It was a big day. Okay. Now, let's kick Sony while they're down, won't we? Now, Sony has been going through a lot of hell. We know that. And we've all said the same thing, which is, all right, enough's enough. I think the point has been made. Let's get on. Well, The Onion decided they had to have one more jab at them. And this made me laugh so hard that I have to share this with people. Are you ready? Have you got headphones, by the way? You might need headphones for this one. Because this actually made me literally laugh out loud. I showed it to my wife. She laughed. I showed it to Nikki. I thought he was going to die. Now, okay, granted, there's a lot of swearing in it, and we're going to earn our explicit tag with this right now. And, you know, to a 12-year-old, any swearing is funny. But he did think this was pretty funny, and has suddenly become an absolute fan of The Onion because of this. So check this out. This is The Onion reporting on Sony's new product.
Savvy consumers are lining up today to be the first to purchase Sony's brand new stupid piece of shit that doesn't do the goddamn thing it's fucking supposed to. Onion News Network Tech Trends reporter Jeff Tate has more.
Thanks, Brandon. It's being called the biggest fucking waste of your hard-earned money to come along in years. Sony's new stupid box thing hit the shelves at crowded malls and overpriced electronics stores around the country today.
It's got a whole bunch more memory and megapixels and whatnot than any of the other TV shit that I already have. I can't wait to get home and spend my whole fucking night trying to figure the goddamn thing out.
If you can somehow claw and bite your way through the impossible to open packaging, this stupid piece of shit offers a wide variety of frustrating as hell functions, including flashing random fucking words and numbers on its display screen, not coming with the fucking little doohickey thing it's supposed to, and being goddamned ass backward as fuck. Sony spokesman Alan Compton said the company designed this sucking fucking goddamn thing to make everyone in the modern home want to tear their fucking eyeballs out.
We listened hard to what our customers said they wanted the most out of their own home entertainment system, and then we pumped out this impossible-to-use fucking piece of shit.
Mystified by the device's numerous extraneous features, can scroll through the interactive help menu, a labyrinthine maze of indecipherable topics of the fucking
We want people to be screaming in unison from houses across the country, work. Work, you cocksucking piece of shit. What is wrong with you? Why can't you work like a normal machine?
With a $100 million nationwide campaign to plaster irritating-ass advertisements for the retarded hunk of garbage every single goddamn place you look, Sony is expecting it to become the next fucking gizmo you absolutely have to fucking own if you don't want to feel like a toothless hillbilly living in some hillbilly shack somewhere.
I love bullshit like this. Basically, I'll buy any goddamn thing that I see in an ad.
The fucking piece of shit is available now. Fuck. So run out and pick one up and invite all of your friends over to see if any of them can figure out this motherfucking time vampire. Unless one of them is a rocket scientist, Sony pretty much guarantees they'll have no chance. For the Onion News Network, I'm Jeff Tate.
Thanks, Jeff. Sony says they plan to release an upgraded 800 gigabyte version of this piece of shit by the end of the year, just when you figured out the goddamn remote control for this one. It never ends, this shit.
It never ends, this shit.
Oh, man. That dude is so right.
It is so funny. And look, you can apply that to any technology company at the moment, I think.
Just, like, honestly, when that guy was standing there and he was talking about his thing,
I like to buy any of this kind of shit.
I was just standing there going, God, it's so bad because it's so true. The guy, oh, man. Seriously.
Oh, man. It's so, I like it when he says, when you bite and claw your way through the end of the package.
I love Time Vampire.
The Time Vampire is brilliant. It's so clever. The Onion, I got to tell you, The Onion is brilliant. They are so on the ball. Somebody saying they've seen something like this, but years ago. Probably. But that's the problem, is that this technology
just repeats, man.
It goes on like this forever. If you remember, a couple years ago, my favorite one from a couple years ago was the new MacBook click wheel. Remember? where they did away with the keyboard. They just had a giant click wheel. I didn't know I needed it until they put it out on the market. Oh, all your files are only several hundred clicks away.
Just wearing this shit around.
Okay. All right. So that's that. Let's move on. Sony. YouTube introduced an interesting new feature this week. They introduced a feature which actually allows you to mix videos. So they've actually, when you upload a video onto YouTube now, you have two choices. One is, this is my content, blah, blah, blah. And the other one is, this is a Creative Commons project and actually has inbuilt editing tools so that you can do mashups.
Oh, nice.
Right online. So I thought that was kind of interesting, kind of an interesting move from YouTube to do that. If you are a YouTuber, you might want to go check that out. The link is in our show notes.
Yeah.
I don't do a whole lot of YouTubing. I put up various clips for our show and stuff, but that's about it. Iran is planning on closing down the open internet. They're actually closing.
Oh, there we go.
Well, I guess, you know, they proved that they could turn it off. And so now they're thinking, why don't we just build our own? So they're basically, let's just do away with the outside world altogether.
So they're just making their own internet?
Pretty much. Or intranet, as the case might be.
That's what I was about to say. That's
countrywide intranet. So, and all I can think is, yeah, I can see China following this model.
Yeah. I imagine China's standing there right behind them.
Just going, like, let's tell us how that works out for you.
Yeah. No, forget that. They've already hacked into it by throwing a virus into it, and they're already inside it.
All right, so this is quite possibly...
Yeah, that's right. I'm calling you out.
This is quite possibly the most useless invention of all time.
Hooray!
I just love useless inventions. This is a MP3 player torch. Okay. It's real, mind you. It is a torch, and it has a 2 gigabyte memory. 2 gigabyte memory. And it holds MP3s, and you can play your
MP3s. Oh, it's got a speaker on the end of it.
A speaker on the back, so you know when you're down there spelunking in the dark, you can play your music.
Nah, man, this is for security guards, man, in like things like morgues and shit like that. They're just walking around. It's just like so quiet. They're like, fuck this.
And somebody sneaks in some MP3 files, so they turn on their torch and goes, ooh.
Can you imagine fucking with somebody like that? Give them a torch and just put files on it, like just like banging noises and stuff. Oh,
all man. I can think is like, look, it's got what, 8 buttons across the top? No, 6 buttons across the top. You're sitting there trying to turn your torch on, going, turn on! I feel the net light! Just turn on!
Wrong one.
It's like, I just want light, goddammit! Oh, anyway, shit. I think it's pretty useless, but you know, there might be somebody out there with a use for it. And I'm pretty sure we don't need to do this. This is something I'm pretty sure we don't need to do. Apparently, some scientists are now saying in the future we may be carrying our own genome around in our phone. So the idea is that if you meet somebody and you go, hey, we should go out on a date, you can actually bump phones and it'll tell you if you're genetically compatible.
Oh my God, this is that movie. Gattaca all over again. You just be like, hey, just give me a sec.
Yeah, Australian, and this comes from Australia too, I feel ashamed. Australian geneticist Richard Cotton wants us to live in a world where each person carries around their genome sequence in their mobile phones. When it comes time
Isn't it funny how scientists are just the furthest away from this shit. They just...
They don't understand intimacy at all. They go, what, you want to have intercourse with me? Let's check our genomes.
Are you checking me out? Hold on, just one sec. Bang. No, piss off.
Look, it's an interesting idea. I don't think we need it.
Get out. It's not an interesting idea at all.
Clara Tungle sent this through. This is a visual, so guys who are in our audio show, you'll need to go check our show notes out. This is just a sculpture, which I thought was really cute. Somebody took an Apple keyboard. They only used an Apple keyboard.
That's cool.
They only used an Apple keyboard because it's flat and easy to do. They sculpted new keys for it, and they actually looked at statistically which keys are hit the most, and they sculpted the keys to show you the amount each key is pushed.
That's so cute.
And so that's pretty neat. And apparently it works. And if you watch, there's a video attached to this as well, and they all jiggle because they're made of rubber. It looks kind of odd. I don't think you could use it for any practical purpose, but as far as a sculpture is concerned, that's kind of cool. It looks like a city.
Yeah.
Anyway. Now, let's move on to fantastic geek hobbies. We love geek hobbies, and we love it when geeks get creative. And what better way to get creative than with Lego? Okay, this guy, he actually decided that he always loved Lego as a child. And when he, but you know, you couldn't afford it and you had to study and blah, blah, blah. And he suddenly realized as he got to being an adult that, you know, he had extra income and he had time and he could do whatever he wanted to because now he's an adult. He decided that he was going to build his dream Lego city. And so he actually, when he got his house, made sure he had a Lego room. And oh, wow. He has slowly been building it up. It's called the Garrison of Moriah. It's a 50 square meter room. And basically, it is still a work in progress. And I have some photos. There's a whole photo gallery that you can have a look at. It is made to scale to Lego minifigures.
Oh, dude, that's
and
cool.
And so here's some of the photos for our chat room. This is the town square.
Cool.
You can see the fountain and so forth. It's inspired by the big cities of Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And basically, he doesn't plan it in advance. He's just building it.
That's so amazing.
We also have this one, which is the arena.
Dude!
You know, all the people watching the fights in the arena. Here's him standing next to the entrance to his city.
Wow.
And here's one that just shows it from the side. Look, there's a couch. He's built it over the top of the couch. That's awesome.
And his wife loves him.
Yeah, it doesn't actually say if he's married.
I was kidding. Let's not make him feel awkward.
Anyway, so yes, his name is Jerry Burrows, and he's been building it for a while, and it's still not finished. He's still working on it. Yeah. So yeah, I think that is a fantastic hobby. Keep it up, dude. I love Lego cities. But for those who are into building things, Dan Reeves decided not to build a model. He decided to build a whole airplane.
Yeah.
He built it in kit form.
Say what?
Over years, he's been building this airplane in his basement, right? So he built the wings, and then he built the fuselage and so forth. The only problem was that when it was time to actually get it out of the basement, they had to dig a hole and tear the wall out of the side of the basement because, of course, he built it in the basement. Can I say that one more time? He built it in the basement. Now, there is actually a photo here of him. Sorry, a video here, sorry, of him taking. This is the plane emerging from his basement. So here we go. Airplane removal Wednesday. It was a media event.
He built an airplane.
He built an airplane. And now there he is. He's taken out of his basement. And he's working on getting his pilot's license. And now he's taking it down to the airport where it'll be assembled. Because he's got all the pieces. And he just has a couple more things to do before he gets FAA approval for it to fly.
Right, so he...
Apparently one of his dreams, according to the article, was he wanted to build it and then put a glass floor in his living room so he could look down and admire his handiwork. But his wife nixed that idea.
How odd.
I can't imagine
anyone having a problem with something like that.
So anyway, so he's built his airplane, and now it's out, and he had to literally dig it out. He had to get a contractor to come and dig it out of his basement. Dude.
Wow, that's...
Let's break some world records. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
Do you like Hot Wheels cars?
Yes!
I like Hot Wheels cars. Well, here's a full-size Hot Wheels track, and they broke a world record with it. Watch this.
Oh, dude.
And here we go at 5, 4, 3...
Jesus.
Two,
one. Big ass track. Watch this. Here comes the record.
Holy shit. Fucking goddamn near missed the whole...
All right.
Dude, and he managed to freaking keep it upright.
He did. He did it. He broke the world record for longest jump. And let's turn the volume down. All they needed to do was put a loop-de-loop in there, and I would have been absolutely ecstatic.
That's the next one round.
There you go. He just crushed the world record. And he gets out and gives a big wave to the audience. Yay! All right.
Dude,
so, there you go.
You are my new hero.
There's the world's biggest full-size Hot Wheels track. All right. And, Josh, I put this one in because this one was for you, dude. We like geeks playing with things that can kill people.
Yep.
This is a man who's built his own... He builds slingshots. and decided that he wanted to fire circular saw blades at a, at a
slingshot. As you do.
Now, I've heavily abridged this because it's very long, and he does a whole bunch of tests and stuff, but I just had to give you a flavor of what this guy is like. He's so good.
Hello, and welcome to the Slingshot Channel. Today we want to try to shoot circular saw blades.
Hello, and welcome to the Slingshot Channel.
And of course, it itches me.
I love how he's like, these are dangerous.
From a slingshot.
Yes, they are.
Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, it's not that you can simply put it in a pouch and shoot away with it. That's not going to work.
No, it's not.
So there must be some means that I can put it in a slingshot rifle. And I came up with a good solution for this. So this is the solution. I simply put a dowel
to
the center hole. And it still rotates.
Ah, nice.
Which is a must, because to give it stability in flight, it has to rotate.
So this is the weapon that I came up with. Sugar.
That's a big-ass gun.
Saw blade in here, and then you take the rubber bands that are attached to the massive fork, left and right, very strong rubber bands that you've got to cock one after the other. And you put the rubber bands over the end of the rod here, and when you're ready to fire, you simply release the trigger like this.
See, that smile is just like, oh yes.
In the guard, and there is a piece of rubber on top. So when this shoots, it hits the rubber and starts to rotate. And this gives it the spin that it's needed.
Oh, that is a lethal device. Surprised he hasn't lost a finger making this.
So, as you see,
here we go.
The weapon is loaded and cocked.
Dude, and now fire it into something.
Oh, God. Some guy comes out of the bushes. Ah!
Now we try to find out what happens when
now we're talking. Let's fire it into something.
Rotating solid.
Let's see what happens when we fire it into a watermelon.
You have a great amount of smiles in your face when you do that.
Boom! All right. And if it didn't have the dowels, it would have gone straight through, I reckon.
Yeah.
What you need to do is find some way that the dowels kick off.
Yep.
In flight.
Either that or or maybe attach them to the rubber band so as it goes through it kind of.
As long as you got the spin.
But then
on the
again,
blade,
it might come out. Yeah. I don't know, dude. You're brighter than I am. But again, I don't tend to put my focus on things like that.
Like
so
building lethal slingshots.
Hey. Don't knock that man. That is a cool device.
All right, so apparently he has the Slingshot channel, and you can go find out lots more about slingshots from him. Anyway, so there's your geek hobbies. For weird food this week, we've got the return of canned foods. Okay, we've done this before where we find posts, and Delta's found another one that is just joyous, where we basically just look at the weird things that people put in cans. Okay, and the first one that I think is brilliant, and I think we've done this on the show before, but I couldn't remember, so I thought we'd do it again just because I just love it. And I'm sure it's just a language issue, but yep. I just love the fact that we have bottled water in a can.
Say one more time.
We've got bottled water in a can. I think that actually makes it canned water.
So when you open the top, is there a bottle inside it?
I don't believe so. I believe it's just bottled water in a can. That's what I'm saying. I think it's a language issue here. I think they mean canned water is what I think they mean. But anyway,
still kind of funny.
Still kind of funny. We also have, awesome. I thought to start us off, we must remember where this all started from. This all started from this great product,
which was God the chicken damn in a can. You had to have the picture.
I did. I had to start us off. And to follow on from chicken in a can, how about this one? Creamed possum in sweet potatoes garnished with coon fat gravy in a can.
Coon fat.
Coon fat.
What is coon fat?
Raccoon.
Oh, right. Oh, God. That just sounds disgusting.
It gets better and better, doesn't it? All right, if that one doesn't get you, how about this one? Oh. Fish assholes.
Is that actually fish assholes?
It is. But I love the fact that it's Wisconsin-style fish assholes.
Of course. Why wouldn't you have local cuisine like fish assholes?
All And this one I put in not because of what it is, it's because of the way it's spelt. Fried chicken in a can. It's C-H-I-K-N. Fried chicken.
Oh, these are all disgusting.
And this is the one that I think we really had to share with people, because this one actually made my stomach turn. And not because it's, you know, mixed possum or anything like that. It's actually canned bacon. Oh. Now, first of all, the concept of canning bacon is wrong, okay? But what have they done to this bacon?
Oh, what color is that?
It's brown.
And what is that thing in the middle?
I think it's wrapped in paper or coiled in paper, maybe? Or is it fat? I don't know what it is. It's just, look, bacon should be that reddish color with white fat. This is that reddish color with brown fat. It's just wrong in every way.
Man.
We have the links to all of these and many, many more. Okay, there are many more of these. I put the links in here, and you guys can go and have a look at them. Danny wants to know why. Why do we put bacon in a can, or why do we put the links for this stuff? We put the links for this stuff because it makes us laugh, like Wisconsin-style fish assholes. I want to know, if somebody listens to this show and actually eats Wisconsin style fish assholes, I want to know what they taste like.
I don't. I have no interest in
actually tasting it. I just want somebody to tell me what they taste like, and I'll make you a bet they say it tastes like chicken.
Thank you, Danny. Why would anyone ruin bacon?
That's my thought. Yes, thank you very much, Danny. All right, let's move on. Whew, we're running really late. We've got a guest coming in to film. Actually, we've got to get this rolling. Let's get on to our picks of the week. And it has been a week from hell, guys, let me tell you. And I am so glad that Delta sent through some links, because I haven't had time to go and do a lot of research of my own. But he did send this through, and I think this is the cutest thing in the world. And I want one. This is the iPhone plug-in fan.
Right.
All right. So it comes in a little box that looks funnily like an iPhone. And you pull it out, and it plugs into the dock connector here. We're playing video for those who are listening to the audio. And you can see it's just a little fan.
Right.
Come on, hurry up, guys. He plugs it into his dock connector on his iPhone. I'm assuming it works on iPads as well. And your phone suddenly... I don't know why he turns it on. I don't think you actually need to have the phone on for this to work.
Probably just to show it works.
And there it is.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of people that would...
if you go from a hot country, I could see that very handy. What I do like, the fact is the fan articulates, so you can actually put it at an angle. So if you were sitting, you sat it on your desk, you could actually turn it. And you could actually make the fan...
That's kind of cute. The only thing
that worries me, of course, is iPhone battery life is really not that great to start with.
Yeah.
And this thing is just going to suck the juice away.
Yeah.
So, but that is very cute, and I would actually buy one of those. I think that is very cute indeed. The other thing that he sent through, I have right here. I actually went out and spent the $1.19 when he sent it through, because I thought this was so much fun.
Mm.
It's an iPhone app. It does work on iPad, but it just enlarges it. But as an iPhone app, it works really well. It's actually called Video Time Machine, and you can pick it up, as I say, for $1.19 on the iPad, on the iTunes store. And all it is basically a link to iTunes, YouTube.
Right.
But what it does is it actually breaks it up. So you select the year. So let's say 1972, and then you select what you want. TV ads, TV shows, news, what have you. And it plays various clips. It seeks it out and finds the clips from that period of time.
That's really cute.
And that is so cool. I actually put it on 77. What was one of the first clips? The original ad for Star Wars. And I thought that was so cool. So Video Time Machine, find it in iTunes, $1.19. It's well worth it. It's kind of fun. So you can try and find that one out. And the other one that I thought was really interesting, but I wasn't about to buy it because it's a free app. But there's in-app purchase, man. I hate in-app purchase.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free app. But if you want to actually make it useful, you have to spend $7.99 to become a leader. The idea of it is, if you've got iPads, you can actually... instead of having lots of notepads and having to set up, you know, overhead projectors and stuff, everybody has this app, and they all then interlink the iPads. And then you have one person who's the leader. That's when you have to buy the leader app. And then they can basically do stuff on their iPad, and it shows on everybody else's.
Okay, that is kind of
cool.
So
it's a really cool business tool.
Yeah.
I just wasn't willing to buy it because I have no use for it here. Although it did occur to me that we could put show notes on two iPads, and then we could just basically spread the show notes across.
This is kind of cool.
Which is kind of cool. So that's something to have a look at. It's actually called Idea Flight. To become a flight leader, though, you have to actually do the in-app purchase.
In-app purchase.
The Wisconsin in-app purchase. Wisconsin-style in-app purchase. All right, do you have anything?
No, the only thing I wanted to say is for Steam players, there is a game called... What did we decide it was called? Terraria?
Oh, God, I can't remember now.
I'm going to load it up. We'll see.
I actually bought it. I haven't even played it.
I don't know.
Terrala or something.
I'm going to spell it. Terraria. And I don't know how you spell that. Terraria. But anyway, yeah. the thing people need to know is it's basically 2D Minecraft. Now, that isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's a really fun game. And as a friend of mine put it, and I think he nailed it, he's like, it's a lot more fun because it's a lot easier to digest and requires a lot less involvement. Mm. Now, if you're a huge Minecraft fan, you may find this a little bit restricted. But for me, I kind of enjoy it because it's just... It's just fun. It looks great.
I just haven't had time to play. As I say, it's been a really busy week, but we will.
But it's the kind of thing that if you put aside maybe a half an hour a day, you could probably just have a little bit of fun with it. Mm. And it's only $10.
That's not exactly bank breaking. And if you've got a group of friends, you can get a...
Exactly, and it's co-op. So, that's my pick for this week.
Also, if you've got a group of friends and none of you have it yet, you can get a 4-license deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Nordy's just said it's more of a game than Minecraft.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Okay, we're going to finish this show off because I'm sure Richard is waiting downstairs for us, but we're going to finish this show off with a little bit of geeky history. Delta sent this through, and I just thought this was fascinating, especially considering that we just reviewed Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which starred Blackbeard. Mm. This video has shown up. They actually discovered some time ago, and I was unaware of this, but they discovered some time ago the Queen Anne's Revenge, Blackbeard's ship. Mm. And they've been searching it and so forth for a while. This video, though, is kind of cool. This is them bringing up the 1,360-kilogram anchor.
Wow.
So if you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, this is Blackbeard's anchor, the real one.
Wow.
And here it is coming from the depths of the ocean. And they're bringing it out for the world to see. And they're bringing bits and pieces out of Blackbeard's ship constantly. So I think it's really cool. He's the pirate the pirates were afraid of. So,
shit, man. That man must have been scary.
That's a big-ass anchor, too.
That is, man. You would not want that
I mean, today
that
on
winch.
Some of our big ships today, that's small. But considering the size of the ships and so forth.
How was that made at the time? Anyway.
Big anchor. Anyway, so there you go. There's the anchor from Blackbeard's ship. Then that's pretty cool, I think. So that's our little piece.
That's our little piece
of history for the day. Okay, you got anything else?
No.
Cool.
That's it, man.
In that case, if you want to have your say on this show, you can send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can leave us a voicemail 02-8011-3167. I did plan to open the phone lines today, and we never did it. So we might open the phone lines on the film show at some point, I think. Because okay. I have a question that I want to ask some people.
Ooh.
All right, so we'll keep that in mind. So voicemail 02-8011-3167. That is a Sydney number. So if you're outside of Sydney, feel free to use our Skype address, which is Geek Actually, all one word. Just send an approval. We'll put you on the list, and then you can leave your voicemails anytime you want. Get merchandise, join the fan page, follow us on Twitter, do all those wonderful things. Just go to geekactually.com. There's a follow us button right there, and you'll find all of our various links, both Josh and myself.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch us record this show, as we said before, every Saturday, Australian time, Australian Eastern Standard Time, I should say, 12 p.m.-ish. We should always say ish because we're always late. For our American listeners, that is Friday evening. Take into account the time difference. It's UTC plus 10. And that is at geekactually.com/live. Now, we do have a few friends that we like to do some shout-outs to. And we're going to do this very quickly today because, as I say, we are running a little bit long. WeekendRonan.com is the home of The Real Junkies, R-E-E-L, which is a movie podcast. These guys are cool. Go check out their show, and you can find it on iTunes. Just search for Real Junkies. Raw DLC is Josh's other thing.
Raw DLC, it's a gaming website. We're currently going out from Dave's studio, which is very cool and very fun. So make sure you check in. Next week will be the last week we do that. 8 p.m. on Tuesday nights. And, of course, check out the website as well.
Cool. We also want to be a big shout out to Charlie and Brad, who were formerly of the Movie Fan House. They are back. Their new site, reboundradio.com, is live now, and you can go and read their movie stuff. Their new podcast is coming soon. We hope to get them on this show soon to talk to us. And we should also say, Grant Noy, thank you very much for our opening track. It is fantastic.
You are a fucking
He's a legend, and one day we hope to get him back on the show, because he hasn't been on the show in an awful long time. Grant is a lot of fun.
He's waiting.
Go, well, we'll get him on then. Grant is always good to come on, especially when it comes to video game stuff. So he's very passionate about his stuff. And last shout-out goes to Josh Spencer over at attackninja.blogspot.com. He is the one who created those fantastic caricatures of Josh and I that you can find on the website and our cover art. So we always give a shout-out to him. He does other artwork other than caricatures. Go check his stuff out. He is very, very good. Okay, that leaves us to the end of the show. I think we are done. Digital Angels saying, woo, go stubby. Digital Angel is in the house. Digital. Long time, no see. And she comes in right at the end.
As usual.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Remember, the Film Actually show is up next on the live channel. You can find that on iTunes as well for the audio listeners. Just look for Film Actually. This week we are doing X-Men First Class. And we have a special guest coming into the studio. But for right now, we're going to sign off. We're going to use Delta Knight's usual sign off because it is so good and we like to steal it. Geek on, everybody. We will see you next week. Thank you, Josh. Now, I'm saying geek on, but I haven't got the music lined up.
All right, let's try that again. Ready, take two. One second of silence.
Whoa, okay, ready. Hold on. I've got to get my shit together. I've got to get this better on this show. Shh. All
right. Right.
Geek on, everybody. Hey, it worked. There it goes. The people.